Yes, and Lord, you'll be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, and the second verse. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Chapter 8, the book of Deuteronomy, and the second verse. If you and I are to know what this blessed occupation is, and to remember the way which the Lord our God has led us, you and I must be found in the way that is referred to, the way of life, the way to God, the way to heaven. And that should be a solemn consideration. And there is no greater mercy to be known than to have some indubitable evidence of being a pilgrim to Canaan bound. And I would like to feel, and I do feel, that a goodly number of us who worship God under Union Chapel roof are found in this way, wherein God leads his people along, carrying on his good work within their breast and completing it and bringing them at last to where he is, to dwell forever in his love. And in looking at this word as grace is given, it might be well to remember that it is a suitable word for whatever our circumstances may be. You might be in the house of prayer before God with some especial trouble which has loomed on life's horizon, a trouble that you look not for to come into your life, and you may wonder what will be the outcome of it. And now, if you should get this grace given to you, the Lord grant it, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. You may not look back over 40 years, but however many years you do hope, God has been dealing with you since you hope you became, by his grace, a sinner born again. If you can remember the way which the Lord thy God has led thee, where you are at this evening hour, whatever your case, your circumstances, he who has helped you hitherto is saying to you in his dealings with you, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. Do remember that. If you can look back and see wherein the hand of God has been upon you for good, it will inspire you with good courage and good hope, and it will help you to feel thy love in times past forbids me to think thou wilt leave me at last in trouble to sink. The thing is impossible. There is a word in the Psalms I like to look at. Godly David found it to be such a word of which you could say that he sucked honey out of the rock as he contemplated it, the rock of ages. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And remember that. He will do that for you, poor sinner. You have got your concern. There are many concerns that well up in our hearts at times. And our chief concern, in a right mind, will ever be, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear? And whatever trouble beats upon you or yours, your concern in that trouble will be, let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. And as the outcome of that trouble, when God perfects what concerns you in it, you will have a waymark to set up in the way to look back on and remember and think that he hath done all things well. And do remember, he cannot do otherwise. Our God, with whom you and I have to do, is infinite in wisdom, excellent in counsel, wonderful in working. What you and I need is more grace to wait upon him, wait for him. As you have been singing, O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend, to thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. And he is a friend who loveth it all times. Mark that word in, all times. The time that is passing over you, this friend who sticketh closer than a brother, he who is a friend indeed, still loves you in such a time. And you might think it is such a time that he could have overruled, that it should not have come upon you. But wait upon him. Wait for him. And you will find thy ways, O Lord, with wise design, are framed upon thy throne above, and every dark and bending line meets in the center of thy love. Let us look at this subject as grace is given. The setting of it, I must not take up much time in looking at it, but it is wonderfully interesting and striking. Godly Moses, at the end of his long, useful and wonderful life as Israel's leader, and knowing that he is about to step out of time into eternity, and his life work is ended. And God inspires dear Moses to give, as it were, a farewell address to Israel as a nation. But I want you to remember, it is all important to remember it, although Moses addressed Israel as a nation, deep down in his heart, he had got those who belong to the Israel of God in Israel as a nation, who alone could understand much that God inspired Moses to declare. And think of his concluding word. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, all people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. It is the Israel of God who remember the way God has led them along, and realize what this happiness is. Do think on it. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, all people saved by the Lord. And now, if you can look back along life's way and see that which has been done for you therein, which only God could do for you, sweet, blessed experiences wherein the Lord has appeared for you and yours, you have got some indubitable evidence that you belong to the Israel of God. And I want you to remember that God is able to help you to do what he commands his people to do. The Holy Spirit is declared to be the Remembrancer. It is a sweet title to be given to His Holy Majesty. And do remember that oft-quoted word, if ye being evil know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Holy Spirit will delight to help you remember the dealings of God with you, because that is his great prerogative, to make them known and to give you an understanding thereof. And look how this is worded. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee. It is not only a command, it is an injunction. The meaning is, as I said at the outset, if you should get divine aid and be helped to do it, what God has done for you in your past experience will help you to stand firm and sure whatever your present experience is, and you can look into the future and feel, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Yes. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. I sometimes try to ponder in my mind how a godly Israelite would feel as he tried to do this, and what he would be helped to look back upon over 40 years in the wilderness. What wonderful things he would memorize and live over again in his mind as he thought of being in this place and that, where the cloud moved to lead them and where their camp was stationed. And he would think on many things that would make him to realize what a good God the God of Israel was. And surely in the remembrance, the heart of a godly Israelite would be warmed with love and desire and concern to live unto such a God, live for God, and have that feeling, this prayer and this ambition mine, living and dying, to be thine. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. You may say, I have lived long, I look back a long way in life's journey, and it would be difficult to remember all the details. But even then, the Lord can help you and bring to mind such details of his dealings as should be most helpful to you in whatever your present experience is. Look at it from that viewpoint as you seek to remember the way the Lord thy God has led thee. And you will find that he who has helped you hitherto will help you all your journey through. Meanwhile, the just shall live by faith. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He will indeed do as I said. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And what is it the Lord is most of all concerned about in dealing with his people? This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. In his dealings with you, if you belong to these people, pilgrims to Canaan bound, in his dealings with you, I say, the Lord is concerned about that good work he has begun in you, and that he will carry it on and lead you into his truth, cause you to go deeper down, take root downward, that you may bear fruit upward to his honor his glory. Looking a little again at the setting of the subject, it is very surprising when you come to read what the Word of God has to say about it, that you find the Holy Spirit gives but little details of the journey into Israel through 38 years of their 40 years wanderings in the wilderness. The Word of God only says, and they went from this place to that, and then on to the next. And in the last year or so, the cloud lifted up off the tabernacle and moved 10 or 12 times. So they were only a few weeks, in this place or that. And in some places earlier on, they were there for years. Oh, it is very desirable, as you seek to remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee, to see the details of his dealings, and to begin at the beginning. Can you remember when you hope God set you going in the way to heaven? Do you say, I wish I could do that? I should be very glad if I could look back along my life and discern some special date when I became a pilgrim. As the Lord shall help me, I will help you to search into the matter. And now Israel of old came out of Egyptian bondage, and they turned their backs upon it. God wrought a miracle and delivered them from Pharaoh's clutches and set them going by the way of the wilderness to the land of promise. As you are all aware, they could have reached that land in about 14 days had they gone by the straight route. But that was not the will of God, because Israel as a nation, coming out of Egyptian bondage, were a very poor lot, a motley crowd, and not well behaved, and they needed to be disciplined, for they had lived years and years and years upon the leeks and the garlic, and that food which Egypt afforded. But Egyptian food is not health-giving for Israelites. And remember that. And so God ordained that they should journey in the wilderness. And in the ultimate issue, it was to be for 40 years that they should journey hither and thither through the rebellion of the grown-ups when they came to Kadesh Barnea and heard the evil report brought by the spies. And now, first of all, see if you can remember when the world in which you live and move became to you the equivalent of a wilderness. Heretofore, you had looked round the world as you lived and moved in it, and had your own thoughts, your own ambitions, your own concern to be this or that, and that you would fill some niche in the world, but it was all to do with the flesh, the things of the flesh. You had no concern whatever about things eternal and the part and lot therein. But then something happened. You cannot tell exactly when it happened, but the effect of it was known and felt. Then you found the world was not the same place as you thought it was. And you looked within, as it were, and found you had an aching void which this world could not fill. You might have continued after the flesh, the things of the flesh, if to be you could work off this strange feeling which had possessed you, but you found instead of working it off, it deepened. And you became more and more miserable as you sought relief at earth-polluted streams. And that brought you to a conclusion. I cannot here contented live with all the dainties earth can give. And you can remember when something like that was wrought in your soul's experience. And now that is a good beginning to being in the way the Lord thy God has led thee. The dear Saviour said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that hunger and thirst can only come as a sinner is born again. And when you became the subject of it, God had granted you life. You could say with Job, "Thou hast granted me life and favour." Oh, it is good to go back to our beginnings. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. And you found with this aching void that it brought with it a need. You were like the prodigal, and he began to be in want. And you found nothing from any earthly source would supply the want. And at length you came to realize that you were in want of God. God with whom you have to do. I hunger now for heavenly food, and my poor soul cries out for God. And that is a wonderful mercy. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love. That soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. A beginning to the good work, when you view it aright, although there may not be any waymark outstanding to set up concerning it, a beginning to the good work is a beginning felt. Something must be known and felt. And now, thou shalt remember all the way. Can you remember when with that want and that aching void within, and you realized that you were a sinner with a never-dying soul, bound for an eternal state, can you remember when you began to ask God something about it? If so be, God would remember you, look upon you, number you with his people, lead you into his truth, create in you a clean heart, and bless you indeed like Jabez of old. When you began to use that petition, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people, O visit me with thy salvation." Thou shalt remember when it was true concerning you, "Behold, he prayeth. Behold, she prayeth." And remember, there must be a beginning to it. "Then began men to call on the name of the Lord," the word of God says. And as you look back over the way God has led you, oh, you should have some remembrance when you began to go up to the throne of grace with a solemn concern, an aim, an urge, because of what you felt within. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then it says, and it is good to remember it, "And the eyes of the blind shall be opened." And now it may be from baby days on some of you have heard the gospel, and you have, I know. But maybe for years and years all you could understand of the gospel being preached was the amen that ended a sermon and set you going where you were more concerned to be. And now can you remember when, because of what you felt was happening within, that you began to listen, if so be there might be some instruction, some word of help, some hope declared that you might rejoice in it and enable you to feel, who can tell but what God will be gracious unto me. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee. And there is a good word in Isaiah which is helpful to think on. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. Can you remember when the words of the book first dropped in your heart, your conscience, with thus saith the Lord, and you could realize that the gospel was indeed good tidings of great joy? The Savior said to his disciples, I've thought on it many times, blessed are your ears, for they hear. And now you lived many days and did not hear, yet you heard hundreds of sermons preached, but you did not hear what God the Lord had got to say to you. Do you listen nowadays, if to be? God the Lord will say something to you. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul. Do you pray nowadays as you could not pray in childhood's days? Oh, give me Samuel's ear, the open ear, O Lord. Hey, the Lord bless you if he has given you ears to hear. The day will dawn when Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend will be saying something for your soul's joy and peace, which it may be you are still on the listen for him to say. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Can you remember, any of you, when Jesus Christ did say that to you? Oh, that is a sweet remembrance. There is one place the children of Israel came to which was named Rephidim, and it means a couch of rest. And there comes an experience like that to these heaven-bound pilgrims sometimes as they journey on. As far as the word of God makes it plain, the children of Israel only journeyed once to Rephidim. There were some places where they went twice and were found there the second time. But now it is good to look back and remember such an experience when you were helped to feel sweet the moments, rich in blessings, which before the cross I spend. When your heart was overwhelmed with the love of God, the goodness of God, then you were humbled before the majesty of heaven that he should indeed condescend to look upon such an one as you felt to be and single you out and make you manifest as one of his blood-bought people. Can you remember when Jesus Christ became to you a living, bright reality? When you could sing, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth could speak, Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art, I would from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Oh, these are happy remembrances. Going back to what I said about Rephidim, it would help you, you dear young people, remember this, if you ever get any leisure time, it would help you to take the word of God and follow thee journeyings of the children of Israel, and I think you can do it with a good Cruden's concordance. You will find the meaning is given to every name where the children of Israel stayed in their wilderness wanderings, and the meaning of some of those names will surprise you. and instruct you and help you. Because whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort in the scriptures might have hope. And you will find, if you are in the way to heaven, the way that God leads is Israel, the Israel of God, along, you will come into places where you will have like experiences of a spiritual nature that Israel of old had as they journeyed in the wilderness. I need only turn aside to say, if you are an Israelite indeed, you know what it is to come to the waters of Marah and find as you drink of the same, the waters of Marah are bitter. And now you know what happened. Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord told him to cast in a tree which had to be cut down for it to be done. And when that tree was cast in, the waters were made sweet. And now there, you may have come into your life a great sorrow, a trouble hard to be understood, or it may be a very long, painful affliction, and you find, according to what you are by nature, it is like the waters of Marah. The waters are bitter to drink. But if you get this sweet, blessed experience, the tree cut down, and you know what it sets forth, the cross of Christ, and what was done thereon. And then you will find, however bitter the waters have tasted, they will become wonderfully sweet. And you will say, did Christ my Lord suffer? Shall I repine? His way was much rougher and darker than mine. And you will have this to remember. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, even that I travelled by the waters of Marah, that I might learn thy statutes. You read when they came to the waters of Marah, and there he proved them. And I make this comment, there he proved them. And now, if when trouble comes into your life, at its onset it will always be bitter as it comes. But if you have through the mercy of God, whatever that trouble is, overruled and sanctified to your soul's profit and peace, then you can say, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. It proves you to belong to the Israel of God. Then you are being led by God in the way that you should go. This is the way, walk ye in it. Much might be said along that line of thought. And turning aside again, following how my mind runs, think of Pi-hahiroth. When the children of Israel came there, it was a cul-de-sac. The mountains were either side, the Red Sea ahead, and the Egyptian host pursuing behind. And yet, the Lord appeared at that time and divided the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went through on dry land in the midst of the sea. And there, Pi-hahiroth, which means the lion's mouth, as I say, they set up one of their most outstanding waymarks. And I must name this, ere I look at the subject from another viewpoint. There was one place the children of Israel came to, which was called Kibroth Hataava, and that means the grave of lust. When they desired flesh to eat, and actually said, our soul loatheth, it's like bread. Oh, they were weary of eating manna day after day. And I read to you, and he gave them their request. and gently nest into their soul. And you may find, if you remember the way God has led you, you have got to keep Rosh Tava to remember the grave of lust, when something was uppermost, arising from what you are by nature, and you wanted it, lusted after it. It might be to do with your home life, your business, or whatever it might be. It was contrary to what the Word of God allowed you. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And you look back to that Kibroth Hattaava, because in the ultimate issue, it brought you leanness of soul. A sad time to look back on, when you found, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you learn, with caution we should tread, for as we sow we reap, and oft bring mischief on our head by some unwary step. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. Can you remember, as you look back along the way, when Jesus Christ has been precious to you? When you have found His love shed abroad, and you have felt as you wanted to feel that matters were right between your soul and God? Can you remember, you dear young people, when you were brought to this conclusion, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? When you said with the psalmist, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness? How much might be named. But then it says, and thou shalt remember all the way. Did you ever do that? Did you ever, in heaven's own light, look back over all the way God has led you along? I do wonder if the interpretation of this is when the Israel of God have arrived at home. Because when all is said and done, to remember all the way God has led you, you will have to be in heaven to do it, in the fullness of it. And that will be one of the occupations in the realms of bliss. And remember, in heaven, everyone has got an amazing memory, a perfect memory. Every jot and tittle of the dealings of God will stand out clear cut, all dovetailed in, to show that He did indeed lead you forth by the right way. Yes. Remember that. Let us look at the subject from another viewpoint. The time is going so. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And it goes on to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandment or no. And now, it is well to remember, for though I have no time to work it out in the detail I should like to, I say it is well to remember that a mighty multitude of Israelites left Egyptian bondage and did journey in the wilderness, who never did reach the land of promise. And that is a very solemn consideration. They are not all Israel that say they are of Israel. And it says, to humble thee. And now I am sure, neither you or the preacher can look back along life's way, any of us who have the mercy to be taught of God, and not be humbled in the remembrance of our own sins and shortcomings therein, our own ill behavior. I read to you that solemn record in the Psalm 106, where godly David was inspired to record a very black outline of Israel's behavior. And yet, God remained Israel's God. Oh, what a wonderful God is Israel's God. And we do hope he is our God too. And we need Israel's God to be our God. Oh, if you look back along the way God has led you, it will humble you to think of what you have been at times. You have been far, far short of what you ought to be. You ought to be what you profess to be. But you and I have failed oh so often and been very cold and formal and mechanical, not living near to God, but too often at the ends of the earth in our soul's experience. And the remembrance of it is very humbling to us. And it makes us appreciate deep down in our hearts, salvation is of the Lord. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then there is another side to this humbling. Our badness, the remembrance of it, will humble us. But there is another humbling in contrast to it, which is a very sweet humbling. The humbling you get under a sight of your badness is very bitter to contemplate and feel. And something seems to say, is this thy kindness to thy friend? But when you think of the goodness of God, when you realize, though I have thee oft forgot, thy loving kindness changes not. And when God says to you, rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. And now that humbles you. And you say, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And you should ponder every step you take in the way the Lord thy God leads thee along, for who maketh thee to differ from another. And here you are at this evening hour. It may be you do not feel as you are here before God as you would like to feel. You cannot feel that things are right between your soul and God, and you feel a liveliness in the worship of God. And yet it is well to remember this. Our good guide and Savior has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favor we are what we are. And you must never forget, as you are here, the great majority of you, after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, as you are here asking the way to Zion with your faces thitherward, as you are here with your backs to the earth and your faces heavenward, Godward, you can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am and where I am. Otherwise you would be in the world and of it as you were born. And now it is good to remember that. It will encourage you to hope in God. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and prove thee. You see, there comes a proving time. You remember the dear Savior preached his own gospel. And this was his text. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. From that it was a proof. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus, will ye also go away? How about it, dear friends? Let us have an answer before God with whom you and I have to do. Will ye also go away? Surely, surely, many of you are saying, Lord, to whom can we go? If thou shouldest leave us to what we are by nature, we shall indeed go away. But if thou wilt grant us thy grace as we desire, we want to be with thee all along life's way, and at the end of it dwell forever with thee where thou art. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and assure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. To prove this, you're not for going back then, dear friends, are you? For giving up? No, by the grace of God, we are. For going on, faint yet pursuing, it may be. Much might be said under that heading, but I must come to the amen. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. I'll keep you a minute to tell you one thing that impressed me as I pondered this subject a little. And I want you to lay it to heart. And if you can, I would like you to reduce it to practice. And now all these things that you are helped to remember in the way God has led you, oh, they should be reported. And that is, there is a time to speak. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. And they should not only be reported, but they should be recorded. Remember that. You will find a word here which will help you to think on it. And now in the record, later on in Israel's history, it says, do listen, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Margin reading, remembrancer, writer of chronicles. It might be well to say to some of you, write the things which thou hast seen the Lord thy God doing for thee along life's way, and leave thee record of it for other folks to read. Surely that is one interpretation. One generation shall declare thy works to another. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And now what can you really remember? Can you remember that you have left Egypt behind? Can you remember when you passed hard by Sinai's mountain, were brought in guilty before God as a hell-deserving sinner? Can you remember that from that time on you have found the world to be the equivalent of a wilderness as you have lived your life therein? Have you found Marah waters to be made sweet? And think of this. This will help you and be a sure evidence. Have you tasted heavenly manna? You remember the children of Israel gathered manna. Man did eat angels' food. But then the word of God tells us the truth of it. There is hidden manna. And the dear Savior said, I am the bread of life. And that lovely scripture, and he that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes. Have you drunk of the water that flows from the rock of ages? Surely you have had some sips of that blessed living stream which makes glad the city of God. Another thought is this. Did you ever get a glimpse of heaven? Remember, the children of Israel came in one place when they could see the land of promise across Jordan. But it was 38 years afterwards that they set foot in the land of promise. And now sometimes, to these heaven-bound pilgrims, journeying on in life, God does give them that word in the fulfillment of it. Thine eyes shall see the land. which is very far off, and you get a glimpse of heaven, and you get some sweet realization that when you die, you will be there forever with the Lord. And you say, yes, I to the end shall endure. As sure as the earnest is given, more happy but not more secure, the glorified spirit in heaven. Oh, that God would give to you and the preacher too indubitable evidence that we are indeed pilgrims to Canaan bound. Then come what will, it shall be well. As we journey on, we can sometimes feel we are traveling home to God in the way our fathers trod. They are happy now, and we hope their happiness to see. Amen.
Now let the people in this soul, and may Jehovah's arm their soul, his shield is spread o'er every saint, and thus support him, who shall say, 232.